In the precious name of Jesus, whose name is worthy of our praise, worthy of our lives, in Jesus' precious name, amen. I'd like for you to look up our text for tonight. I don't know how often you look at the book of Ezekiel, but look at Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and then just a little bit later, you'll find the book of Ezekiel. Tonight we're in Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The short Old Testament reading that Pastor shared with us just a moment ago. If you're a visitor with us tonight, we encourage you to take one of the Pew Bibles as our gift to you so that you can read and study God's precious Word. The theme for tonight is fearlessly standing for Christ. As we look at the book of Ezekiel, we'll see that God called Ezekiel, one of his Old Testament prophets, a speaker for God, to stand fearlessly in His Word. And I think that's a text that's important for us, especially as we live in the country, the community, the land in which we live right now. You'll remember, I'm sure, that this past week it was announced a terrible decision by the Supreme Court. I knew this text was coming up and thought it appropriate to speak to it a bit this week, and I will in just a few moments. But it's important for us to remember that as God's people today, God calls us to stand for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In this land, in this time, in this place, God encourages, God commands you and me to stand fearlessly for the truth of God. In our text for tonight from Ezekiel chapter 2, we see the prophet Ezekiel. If you've got your Bibles open, you'll see in chapter 1 a strange, a mysterious, a wonderful vision of Ezekiel. God speaking to Ezekiel. God giving Ezekiel words and visions to be able to share with the people to whom he was to minister. And then in chapter 2, where we are for tonight, God speaks directly to Ezekiel, calling him into the ministry of speaking for him. Actually, just before our text again, you see a throne room scene of God. God in His majesty, God mysteriously appearing to Ezekiel. Ezekiel seeing this vision and then hearing the voice of God calling him to stand up and to speak for God. It's an important word for that day and time and an important word for us. Obviously, Ezekiel wasn't the first of the prophets. There were many others who had preceded him. I thought this week of some of the important prophets that had gone ahead of him. Isaiah, for example, was 150 years before Ezekiel. Ezekiel around the year 600 BC before Christ. Isaiah, some 750 years before Christ. Another important prophet you'll know even before him, Elijah, around the year 900 BC. And some 700 years before that, the prophet Moses, called by God. You know, I thought of Moses, especially in how difficult his ministry was. You know how God used him to call the people of Israel out of bondage, out of captivity, and then because they were a rebellious, stubborn, and obstinate people, they had to wander in the wilderness for some 40 years. What would have taken them a very short time, as God wanted to lead them into the promised land, they rebelled. And God said, okay, have it your own way. And for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. For 40 years, they showed themselves rebellious and obstinate and stubborn, so that the prophet Moses often said to God, God, why have you saddled me with this people? Lord, I wish it had never happened. Lord, I'd rather die than lead these people. God called Moses to speak for him. God called Elijah and Isaiah, and in our text for tonight, God calls Ezekiel. It's interesting that God says to Ezekiel in this booming voice from the throne, Ezekiel, stand up. And as he stands, it's the Spirit of God who enters him. It's the Spirit of God who lifts him up and raises him up. Ezekiel doesn't choose his own calling. He doesn't choose his own ministry. He doesn't put himself forward. But it's God who calls him, God who fills him, God who inspires and then equips him to do the ministry to which he's called to do. And as he stands, God promises him several things in our text. First of all, he promises it's not going to be an easy chore. And secondly, he promises, I will be with you always through the ministry to which I send you. What God says about the people is, I call you, Ezekiel, to speak. And as you speak, I'm not calling you to be effective. I'm not calling you to be successful. I'm calling you to speak. And whether they listen or not, that's not up to you. That's up to me. But what I want you to do, Ezekiel, is to speak clearly the word that I give you. And as you speak, I will work through you, and I will accomplish my good and gracious will. So God said to Ezekiel, these people I put you to, these people to whom you speak, they are rebellious. They are obstinate. They are stubborn. And see this woman with her arms folded, indignantly looking? This might have been the kind of face that Ezekiel saw as he preached and as he taught God's word. What God said to Ezekiel is, I tell you, stand up and stand for the truth. I will be the one who speaks through you, and I will accomplish what I want to accomplish. You know, when you think about people who are rebellious, who are obstinate and stubborn, it's pretty easy to think of other people around you, isn't it? But guess what? This word is for you, and this word is for me. You see, from the very beginning, God's people have been rebellious and obstinate and stubborn. It came from our very first parents, Adam and Eve. In the garden, they rebelled against God's will and against God's promise, against God's command. They wanted to do what they wanted to do when they wanted to do it. And they were rebellious. And we've carried on that same tradition. Our original sin clings to us, and it connects us with them. And what they did, we find ourselves doing too. It's easy to look around at the people with whom we live, at the people in our community, at the people of our nation, but God calls us tonight to look first at ourselves and to recognize and confess, as we did at the beginning of the service, Lord, I am a miserable sinner. Forgive me and help me to live as you want me to live. There was a prophet that God sent long ago, and it was the prophet Jesus, the spokesman for God, God in the flesh, God himself. Jesus came to our world to bring to us the message of God. And the Father might have said to Jesus, these people to whom you go, they will be rebellious, they will be obstinate, they will be stubborn. And certainly we have been. And Jesus comes to us to bring to us forgiveness and mercy and grace. Jesus died in your place and mine. He took our place. Where we were rebellious, he was obedient. Where we were sinful, he was sinless. Where he is God, we are humanity, fallen and in need of a Savior. That prophet Jesus came to take your place and mine, to bring to you and to me the precious word of God, the word of mercy and grace, the word of forgiveness, and the promise of eternal life. And now, that same prophet Jesus, the God-man, calls us to repentance and forgiveness, and he calls us, like I think he did Ezekiel, to stand up. Stand up, men and women of God, stand up and let the Holy Spirit work in you, because I will send you to a people too who are rebellious and obstinate and stubborn in the land in which you live, and I call you to speak for me. And Jesus does call us. He calls us as a congregation, and he calls us as individuals. It's the call of our church to speak boldly and to stand steadfast in the truth of God and in the truth of His Word. And that's exactly what we seek to do. Lord, teach us from Your Word. And as You speak to us through Your Word, like You did Ezekiel and Isaiah and Elijah and Moses, speak to us, Lord. Change our hearts and help us to be strong in Your Word, so that where You send us and the people to whom You send us, we can speak for You. Just like Ezekiel, it's true of us. God is not calling you to be successful. He doesn't call you to win people over. He calls you to speak for Him and leave the rest to Him. To speak for Him and to stand steadfast in the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are an obstinate people. Our nation, we celebrate our birthday, we celebrate our history, we celebrate the place we live, and yet at the same time we recognize that we are a sinful nation in need of a Savior. You know, as I was thinking about the Supreme Court decision this past week, I couldn't help but think of other decisions in the past, and how obstinate and rebellious and stubborn we've shown ourselves throughout our history. In 1857, do you remember the Dred Scott case? Dred Scott is his name, and he was a slave in 1857 and years prior to that. And in 1857, the Supreme Court of our country decided that he was property and he couldn't be free, even though his master had died and he sued for his own freedom. He was nothing more than property. He wasn't considered a human being. I am thankful that that wrong decision of the Supreme Court then has since been changed. And we recognize independence and we recognize the value of each human being created by God. Do we always? As our nation? Well, then there was another Supreme Court decision in 1973, Roe versus Wade. We think that it was corrected after the Dred Scott case, but isn't it the same sort of thing again in 1973? That decision, Roe versus Wade, basically said that a woman could abort a child, a baby, in her womb for any reason at any time. What about the dignity of human life? What about the life that God creates? And again, the Supreme Court made a wrong decision. That one, we're hoping, will be changed in the years to come. But whether it will in our lifetime or not, we don't know. And then finally, I mentioned it at the beginning of the sermon, the decision that was made this past week, allowing for gay marriages all over our nation. We as God's people, we as Moses and Isaiah and Elijah and Ezekiel, we need to stand firm in the truth of God's precious word, to recognize that life is a gift from God. It's precious in His sight, and He calls us to stand for the truth, to stand for His word, and to stand in the nation at this time, wherever we do, and speak for Him. It's interesting in our text for this evening, Jesus was called upon in the gospel reading in Mark chapter 12 to decide between religious freedom and the responsibilities to the state. Remember, these were detractors who were trying to trip up Jesus, and they said, "Jesus, do we have to pay taxes or not?" And Jesus got one of the coins and said, "Show me a denarius, the one day's wage that everybody was familiar with." And he asked, "Whose inscription is on it?" And he said, "Well, it's Caesar's inscription." And Jesus wonderfully said, "Then give to Caesar what belongs to him, and give to God what belongs to him." What Jesus was saying is, you are citizens of your nation, and as much and as long as you can, God desires that you will be obedient to the authority that He's placed. But when that time comes, that the government is disobedient to God's word, then you have a responsibility to be Christians and to obey God rather than men. That's specifically what was told us in Acts chapter 4. Remember, Peter and John had healed a man, and they were called on account of it. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, told them, don't proclaim in Jesus' name any longer. And they were thrown into jail. And then they're mysteriously, magically, they're powerfully by God, out among the people, preaching in the name of Jesus. And they're hauled in again, and they said, the religious leaders, didn't we tell you not to do this? And they said, you decide. But for us, if it's a matter of obeying God or man, we must obey God. God calls us to stand steadfast in His word today, to be obedient and good citizens of this wonderful land. But when there are those like the Supreme Court justices who decide against what God's will is, our obedience is to God first and primarily. I'm reminded of the great witness of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, told to us in Daniel chapter 3. Remember how Nebuchadnezzar had this idol erected, and he commanded that everyone everywhere bow down and worship him and worship this idol. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided not to do that because they had to obey God first. They were called on account of their faith, and they were given an opportunity to repent, to relent, and then to worship as all the others were. And what they said in Daniel 3 was, we know, Nebuchadnezzar, that God can deliver us from the furnace, and God can rescue us from your hand. Whether he will or whether he will not, he will decide. But as for us, we cannot do this ungodly and this wicked thing you want us to do. Nebuchadnezzar's fury raged against them. They heated the furnace up many times over, and they were thrown in to the fiery furnace. And do you see, it's easy to see the three figures toward the center and the right. But do you see on the left side, there was a fourth figure, and that we believe was Jesus standing with them. He delivered them and did protect them because they stood firmly and steadfast, resolute in the Word of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is calling you and me to stand firmly for the truth, to recognize from God's Word how God is calling us, we who were rebellious, we who were obstinate, we who refuse to listen and whose lives have been changed through the waters of baptism. And each time we come to this altar to receive His very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. And now, like Ezekiel, He says to you, son of man, daughter of God, I ask you to stand on your feet, filled by the Spirit, and proclaim God's holy and precious word. That's what it is that God calls us to do tonight and all the days He gives us. God can rescue us. God can deliver us. Whether He will or not, we don't know. But what we must do is obey God rather than man. May God give you courage and strength and peace and joy as you seek to serve Him, standing steadfast for the truth. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.